Hey gang, are you looking to learn some new songs on your guitar, bass, or ukulele? Well, let me tell you about UltimateGuitar.com. Whether you are a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app for you. For just $2.99, you get over a million chords and tabs available at your fingertips. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, and videos. Simply go to UltimateGuitar.com or download the app to your phone and start playing like a champion today. That's UltimateGuitar.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
When we talk.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you guys all had a great weekend. I have a great show for you guys today. Bourgeois Mystics are here. Zalo, Zach, and Trevor from the band joined me. Their brand new debut album, Eureka, comes out this Friday, April 14th, and they are celebrating that with a release show at the Parish here in Austin on April 14th, which is this Friday. But then next week on April 17th, they are heading out on tour of the East Coast and the Southeast. From April 17th to May 4th, they will be hitting towns like New Orleans, Atlanta, North Carolina. That's not a town, but they will be in the state of North Carolina. They'll be in the state of Vermont. They'll be in the state of New Hampshire. They'll be in Cambridge, Massachusetts. They'll be in the state of Maine, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Little Rock, all these different places. Go to bourgeoismystics.com. Get your copy of Eureka. However you listen to music, it will be available on iTunes, on Spotify, on all the places you get music. But if you want a physical copy, you can get it from bourgeoismystics.com, and you can find out when and if they are coming to a town near you. This is a great band, an eight to ten piece band, out there playing shows. This kind of funk music, not just music that stays on the one and then jumps to the next chord. You know what I mean? Like, it's not so James Brown-y. It's more musically experimental. They even have a manifesto where they talk about breaking the shackles of harmony and formulaic instrumentation. Playing music that is complex, but very, very accessible at the same time. They really walk a fine line, but they do a great job. This album, Eureka, sounds great. They produced it and recorded it themselves, and it's absolutely fantastic. Get out there and see them on tour. Get the album. Go to bourgeoismystics.com. You will enjoy my conversation with Zach, Zalo, and Trevor in just a minute. Before we get to that conversation, let me tell you what's going on with me. I played with Skyrocket on Friday over at Hanover's. I told you guys come out to that show. Now, that show was an intense show. There was a lot of people there. And the vibe was very intense. They were very into the show. And the thing about Hanover's is that there's no green room or no backstage area. So when there is an intense show like that, there's a lot of people in your face in between the sets, which is okay. Dude, that's totally cool. A lot of times people have had some drinks. You're not really drinking like they are. You know what I mean? And they're coming at you, showing them pictures of their latest vacation. They want you to know what they've been up to. Because we've been playing Hanover's a long time. A lot of those people that have been coming for a long time feel like they're, you know, we know their names. They know our names. And so they're, you know, I don't think they realize the intensity that they're coming at you with. But it was an intense show. But it was a lot of fun. I thought we were real good. There is a thing that happens, though, when there is no green room and no real sort of like togetherness in between the times. I feel like that when you're in a band, and especially a band that's that big, and I bet this happens with Bourgeois Mystics, too, you kind of got to get into a place and get into a zone together. Get into that thing that you're about to present to the people, which is your vibe and your connection and your togetherness, making this one sound together. It's nice to have that time together. I feel like with the scattered vibe there, and like at places like Cedar Street, when we come back up on stage for the next set, it takes a second to sort of like reconnect with each other. Does that sound right? I mean, it sounds right to me. That's what it seems like is happening. I don't know. Maybe Hanover's needs a green room. I know Cedar Street has a green room, but we don't really use it. There's always people there, you know, our friends come to those shows, and so we end up talking to them. So anyway, that was my show on Friday. It was a good show. I thought we played well, had a good time. The crowd was intense. They were into it. We were into it with them, and we had a lot of fun. The rest of the weekend, I didn't do much. I hung out with my dogs on Saturday. My ex, Sandy, came back from Mexico. I'd spent a whole week with the dogs. It was great. It was hard to say goodbye. I mean, not that I'm saying goodbye and I'm not going to see them anymore, but there's a big difference between going and visiting them and actually living with them and kind of like, you know what I mean? Being in charge of them and just having that vibe together, sleeping together, waking up, making them breakfast, hanging out with them in the day, running around outside, working on my stuff, and they're all laying around on me. Great dogs. Taylor and Dylan, best things that ever happened to me. And then Sunday, I didn't do much. I hung out with my aunt. I also went and met my aunt and my cousins at the farmer's market. We walked around, had a good time, had a strange interaction with a waiter at this restaurant we went to. Yeah, it was weird. I'm not even going to get into it because I got a little bummed out. He said some shit about Tito's vodka. That was the deal. I asked for Tito's and soda. He said they didn't carry it. And I said, oh, wow, that's weird. That seems like one of the only places in Austin I've ever heard. That's the only place I've ever heard that doesn't have it. So I asked him, like, well, why don't you carry it? And he goes, well, first of all, it's not very good. I was like, wow, I just ordered it. I must like it. You know what I mean? You just told me I don't like this. Plus, that guy's my pal. And those guys have always been super supportive. And I drink that shit all the time. I'm super supportive. Then he went on to talk about some other stuff, which wasn't true. So I confronted him about it. And at the end of the meal, I showed him my phone. I showed him a picture of me and Tito on stage singing when I was playing his Christmas party this last Christmas. And I told him it was real uncool that he was saying that stuff. and then I marched out. I tipped him and stuff because my cousin Emily told me if I didn't, she was going to kick my ass. So anyway, weird lunch on Saturday. Weird lunch. Bourgeois Mystics, their new album Eureka comes out this Friday, April 14th. They are doing a release show here in Austin at the Parish and then heading out on tour from April 17th to May 4th of the East Coast and Southeast. Go to bourgeoismystics.com for all of your Bourgeois Mystics need and finding out if they're coming to a town near you and when they're doing it, all right? Because you're going to want to see this band. It's an exciting band. They put on a great show. They wear wacky clothes. They're crazy dudes, but amazing songwriters and absolutely top-notch musicians. Please enjoy my conversation with Zalo, Zach, and Trevor from the great funk band, Bourgeois Mystics. Let's get down.
Miss, what you been smoking?
Today, see if Eureka's right for you.
Eureka! There's gold and then there's cigarettes.
Okay? Am I pronouncing your last name right?
Gowdy. Yeah. So I'm thinking about, like, I'm listening to Super Freak in the car.
Right.
And I'm like, this is great, you know? And then it gets to this line where he's like, where he goes to the girl's house and he goes, when I get there, she's got incense winding candles.
Yeah.
It's such a freaky scene. Like, how freaky is that? Like, yeah. Kidnapping some chick and repeatedly raping her and smoking crack the whole time. That is a freaky scene. Yeah. But incense winding candles, like, since when was that freaky?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. It's like, that's
that's just like 70s, yeah, like Sausalito. Like,
right, yeah.
Damn. Now we're going to be able to listen to Rick James the same way.
I know, for real, man. Damn, yeah.
You never will. And you know that thing that Chappelle used to do? Like, I'm Rick James, bitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently the last, like, 6 months before he died, that's how he answered the phone. Which is hilarious, right?
Wow, it's absurd, man.
How are you guys doing, man? This is your debut album?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. This is the first
one. Is there some kind of like level of musician that you cannot get in your band unless you're like fucking, like, you guys have played some complex music? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's great, and that's not an insult, but it's not just like, you know, hey man, hey, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's a lot of shit going on. Mm-hmm. How does that? Sure. How do you guys write those? Like, you guys write those songs as a group?
Each tune's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I think usually one of us will kind of bring like the like a pretty good start on a tune. Like I would not little more, I guess, than the skeleton. Like, but like have a pretty good idea, and then we just, you know, fight for weeks on end about the little details. And
well, there's eight of you guys, right?
They're actually ten now. Yeah, it's ever growing. Into
are you taking that many people on the road?
No. No, we'll have five of us from the core group, and then when we get up to New England, I went to college in New England, so I know a horn section up there, and so we're meeting up with a horn section, so we will have eight of us for like seven of the shows, I think.
Yeah, there's not a lot of bands putting out their own debut record that are going up to like New Hampshire and Maine.
Right.
That's a very, like when I saw that, I was like, you know, you'll see a New York, you'll see a Philadelphia, but you don't normally see New Hampshire or Maine.
Right, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Or Rhode Island, really.
Right, yeah, that whole New England region.
Where did you go to school up there?
Me and Zal, the keys player here, went to
badass, by the way.
Thank you.
I saw that video and I was just like, fuck, man, what the fuck, that is the funky ass dude.
Man, we went to a place called Keene State College up in New Hampshire.
So
we're gonna be playing two shows up in Keene, doing a thing called Solar Fest, and then we got
Solar Fest, is that like some kind of what it is?
Yeah, it's put up on by this campus group, like extracurricular group called Campus Ecology.
Okay.
And they're the kind of ecology and nature preservation group on campus. So they throw a festival every year, and they have like six or seven bands, and I hit them up until they let us play.
That's awesome.
It's getting persistent.
Did you guys play up there?
We did not. Well, I mean, we all played different projects, but not together.
We actually met through a friend of ours, because he entered Keene State the year after I graduated. So we had a friend who was a little bit younger in the class, and that was, you know, an older in the years.
Between the ages.
Were you guys studying music? Because this is what's weird, is like I listen to your music, it seems like you're like a band that went to North Texas State.
You're not as, and
I don't mean this bad because I know a lot of cats that went to Berkeley, but
You're
not as square as the cats that went to Berkeley.
Sure.
You have like this fucking like beep, like kooky
some weird
edge.
Stuff. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That reminds me of like shit that happens in Denton. Do you guys ever get up there and play? Do you know, are you from there, Trevor?
No, I'm from Oregon.
Oregon?
And I studied music at Oregon.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
And what do you play?
Guitar.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that you with that wicked solo at the end of the new single?
Tremble and Take Heed.
Tremble and Take Heed.
Yes, that is.
Fuck, man.
Shucks.
You learned some shit in that Oregon college, man. What college was it?
Oh, no, that's YouTube. I learned that from YouTube.
Well, that's cool, because, you know, you don't normally, like, there's a lot of funk that happens around, you know, just around here, let's say that.
Sure.
Nothing against it. There's a lot of James Brown, like a two-chord vibe, you know, that's what you do. And that's a cool thing. But there's not a lot of people. And there's Golden Dawn Orchestra. They do sort of like the art zany band thing.
They're
that
our favorite
you guys
band
for
in
sure,
town.
Yeah.
You guys could be, like, that would be a good double bill.
Right. Oh, yeah. It'd be a dream. It'd be awesome. Yeah.
But there aren't a lot of bands that take the music. I mean, you guys are really, like, sophisticated musically. Like, there's a lot of shit going on in there that's not just this simple kind of thing. Like I couldn't jump up and just jam on one of your songs if I've never heard it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless
we
I was fucking Trevor.
No, it took me a while.
Heroics.
We had that conversation. Our newest members are our second auxiliary percussionist, conga player, bongos. He's like, yeah, I'll just learn the tunes for the show. And we're like, we should probably rehearse with you a couple times before you just jump in. It's kind of deceptively complex.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with like a giant band like that. We're like, the thing you can do the most is like lay back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of fucking shit going on. Everyone can't be going all the whole time.
Yeah.
Unless you're going for that, you know, when you get to a certain thing, you get to it. But that's usually a dynamic you probably try and rise to. So the songwriting, someone comes in with the song idea, and then you guys just jam it out. argue it out.
Yeah, a lot of the times. Yeah, like with Tremble and Take Heed, for example, the single, Trevor brought the, you know, kind of the framework for that, or a few ideas, and then said, like, okay, I'm kind of thinking of this maybe for a verse, and then I said, okay, well, what if we did this for a chorus? You know, so that was probably our most collaborative as an entire band, and that one took, I mean, it was...
A couple months,
like, right, yeah, like writing that thing before, okay. And like rewriting it okay. Until we're like, oh no, this part's too long. Okay, what if we repeat this part here? Because that's like right now it doesn't make sense when it only comes in once, you know, that sort of thinking.
And you guys have been a band for 2 years?
Yeah, yes. A little over 2 years.
I'm glad that I heard that, because something made me think that you guys would go knock out a song like in one writing session, and I'm like, I hope that's not the case.
No, quite the opposite.
I wish. Yeah.
Good. Who produced this record? Because it really does sound great. And where did you record it? Oh, you produced it yourself?
Yep.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So
give
we
me
did.
A fucking
we did
break.
We did the production. The mixing. Orb. Yeah, we did. So we did the drums, acoustic bass, and acoustic bass or an acoustic piano. At Orb,
mm-hmm.
and then everything else we did at Trevor's home studio in his apartment, kind of like this one. We did all of the vocals,
and
guitar, electric bass.
Yeah,
fuck, dude.
But it was,
we all learn how to do a little bit. Yeah. Push buttons.
So we did that, and then it was Matt Melly deserves the credit for the mixing.
Okay,
and
yeah, because sometimes you can give a dude a mess, and he can turn it into some shit.
Yeah. So we did a lot of the edits and stuff, you know, a lot of the grunt work, you know, and then he just like made it pop and come to life and all that. So,
how old are you guys?
I'm 29.
I'm 24.
I'm 28.
Okay. Now I know. And you guys, you moved here from Oregon. Like, what brought you to here? What brought you to here? No, real quick, before we say what brought you to here, Trevor, when did you start playing guitar?
Middle school.
Okay, well, did you ask for the guitar, or did they lay that shit on you? Like, you're taking guitar.
No, man, I heard my dad just ripping a solo, playing blues, jamming. I was like, Dad, how do you do that? He's like, oh, I just made it up. I was like, what? And I didn't know that, you know, there's tricks. I just want to know how to do that. So I started playing guitar. I definitely wanted to
do you totally smoke your dad now on guitar?
Yeah. Oh, that's a yes. That's a yes. Come on.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. Sure. It's, I don't know.
And so then you went, you had bands like in high school and stuff. And what kind of stuff were you exploring in high school? Was it always as complex, or was there like a time when you were playing just like,
I go through different phases, but it was actually pretty similar to, not quite this level, but proggy and funky and nerdy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love your 90s alt rock and high flying courses.
I do like my 90s alt rock
and high flying courses. Me too, buddy. What's your 90s high flying chorus go to?
Alice in Chains, Man in the Box, Pearl Jam.
That's a great song, Man in the Box. That first record, man. Check this out. When that record came out, I went to this record store, and as I've used to throughout my life, like going to the record store, and you'd have a guy that kind of knew. Like, he'd see, all right, this guy's into this kind of shit. So when something new would come out, you'd be like, hey, what's new that I'd like? And he'd be, oh, yeah, man, check this out. Yeah. So this guy was like, okay, man, a couple totally different things that just came out this week. You're going to love them. This is Seal.
Yeah.
And this is Alice in Chains. And they both, like, I thought they were both amazing.
Yeah, dude, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Seal had that song Crazy, you know, that first song?
Yeah. They're big.
Fucking Man in the Box. That's a that song jams, dude.
Yeah, for real.
I met the Rooster, man. I mean, I know Jerry, but I actually got to meet his dad one time. His dad walked out of a taxi backstage with four strippers. And he has a belt buckle. The reason why you know he's the Rooster, he has a belt buckle that on the front has a giant rooster on it, and on the back it says the Rooster. So just in case you were wondering who the song was about, it's him. So anyway, sorry, I digress. Let's go back to your 90s go-tos are the Pearl Jams, the Alice in Chainses,
Little Weezer, Blue Album.
Yeah, Blue Album's great.
Dan Pinkerton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Zach?
My background for music, just for what I listen to.
Yeah, or what did you? How did you come to? What do you play?
I play bass.
Yeah, yeah, bass. When did you get to bass? Did you... Sometimes the bass guy, it's like... Like, you just take that role because no one else is doing it. We can't have five guitar players in the band.
That's most bass players I know, but not me. For me, it was that my dad's also a guitarist. And so I think the reasons were twofold. One, my older brother kind of started playing some drums, you know, so they need somebody to fill that in before I even started playing.
Sure.
And then also my dad, when he gave, you know, he saw I was getting into music, so one Christmas gave me a bass and he said, "Here you go." He said, "Bass players never go hungry." So I was like, he's like, "People always need bass players." Yeah. So I'm like, "Oh, thanks, Dad. I don't have to be as talented as other people. I can still get the gigs, man." So, and so here we are.
What was your first music interest? Like, what was the thing that you were like that turned that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a song, or you see someone play, and you're like, "This is what I'm doing for the rest of my life." Dude.
For sure, man. For me, so it was. I remember TNT by AC/DC.
It's
a big one for me. I heard it on the radio,
dude.
And I'm like, "This is sick." I'm like, "What is this?" I was like in the car with my mom, and she's like, "Oh, I think you'd like the band who plays this. They're called AC/DC." And so like, you know, I got super into it for a while, and like I haven't listened to them in years, but it certainly you know, brings me back to that initial like just getting into music, like, oh, this is, you know, because I'd heard a lot of, you know, like pop music and stuff before then, you know, when I was a kid, but that was the first real like, you know, rock and roll that I listened to, so that definitely turned me on to a whole new world, you know, that time.
You know what's interesting is that there is like that AC/DC element to first hearing music. Like if you can hear a band and you can play their songs, like if you're just picking up an instrument and you hear Steely Dan, it's not going to happen that day.
Right.
But really, sure, by the end of the day, sure, you could learn the fucking three chords of an AC/DC riff.
Totally.
You know?
Man. Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, they don't place their rhythms in any weird, like it's like.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally, man.
Yeah,
not one drum fill in the album.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, play time. You know,
yeah.
So it gets you paid.
What about you, Zalo, man? When did you become the master of funk? Are you like a Stevie Wonder guy?
I did listen to a lot of Stevie Wonder when I was little. I mean, I grew up on the Beatles and oldies, and that's pretty much what my dad listened to, and lots of early Santana on vinyl. But I didn't really get into the funk. It's actually funny that we talked about Golden Dawn Orchestra, because I was 10 years old and I was at a CD shop just browsing, and I found the CD. I liked the cover, so I bought it, and it was Topaz, who is the band leader of Golden Dawn Orchestra.
I love some Topaz.
Yeah. So he released, I think, 4 or 5 solo albums before Golden Dawn Orchestra, and it's all kind of like fusion-y world influence funk music.
So where were you living that you heard that? How did you come across this?
I grew up in Cambridge, Mass.
So you were there in the Harvard area.
Yeah.
Doing your thing.
Doing my thing.
And that's where Topaz music, but Topaz was from here, right?
Yeah, so Topaz was from...
He had a good distribution deal?
Austin, but he was on Velour Records, which is also where Soul Live kind of came up through. And a bunch of other good funk giants. Reggie Watts's, he was on his band Mock Tube.
He had a band?
He had a band called Mock Tube back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Like Reggie Watts.
Reggie Watts. Yeah, and it's less silly than what he normally does, but
it just seems musically like there wouldn't be room for a band with him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what did the other people do? Just sit there and go,
"Chill."
Right,
yeah, for sure.
Hand claps and stuff.
Yeah.
So he was on that record label, and he was living in New York at the time, and had a bunch of music out. And yeah, I was kind of, I wouldn't say he was, you know, he didn't have a lot of notoriety, but when I found that album, I loved it and kind of followed him on MySpace.
Yeah.
And his top 8, I think, was Fela Kuti and Sun Ra.
Yeah. And then you started learning about that.
And so that's really what got me into a lot of what really, really influenced my style of playing.
Yeah. That's some of my favorite, like, it's cool that you had that ability to see that then, but like when I was a kid, you know, you had to wait for someone to say so. Like, that's how I found out about, like, I don't know if you guys know Big Star, but like, Yeah. I'm a huge Big Star fan, and like I learned about them through an interview with REM, where like Michael Stipe was like, "Oh, this was the greatest band, no one's ever heard them," and then I went and found it's fucking, you know what I mean? Then you find out who those guys were touring with and listening to, and it just is like a fucking
for real, man.
So you went into the African world music.
Yeah.
Fella's a heavy dude, man.
Sorry?
Fella's a heavy dude.
Oh, my God. So good. And it's great being in Austin. I feel like the Afrobeat scene here is just the best in the world.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many good Afrobeat bands in town. I mean, Golden Dawn Orchestra isn't an Afrobeat band, but they certainly have a
Who is Afrobeat influence. That I should hear? Because I do love African music. I like West African music.
Yeah. Hardproof Afrobeat. Continental Drift, they're kind of like psychedelic Afrobeat.
I like those guys.
Kali Hot is another great Afrobeat band in town. Actually, our conga player also plays with them.
How does that work if you got to share musicians and you've got like
a
5,000 dudes? Like, you got to call. Like, what happens if like you guys are always do you guys play in other bands?
Yeah, we all play. What's going on here?
We actually
all the way, Eureka.
Someday, man.
It's heading that way.
I know. Yeah.
No, sorry. Go ahead. What other things do you do, Trevor?
I'm a gun for hire. I'm doing a wedding band right now.
What's that? What band is it?
That's Groove Night.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, it's Top 40.
I play in a cover band. It's like 70s and 80s music called Skyrocket.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, it's fun.
Jesse's Girl.
We play that a lot.
Wait.
I think keyboards in that band.
Nice.
I only know the keyboard part.
Yeah.
I do the Sixth Street thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blue collar gigging. But I like it. And then I'm trying to do more audio engineering.
Well, you got a good calling card with this record. You guys really did do a great job with this.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'd like to hear what happened before the guy mixed it to see if I'm really giving you too many compliments.
Yeah.
Lots of tracks. Show
you the before and after, you know.
So wait, Zala, we didn't get to like you were a kid and did you ask to play piano? Because piano is one of those things that they'll lay on you.
Yeah, it was upon me.
Yeah, that's not one that a kid's like, hey, I want to sit at this thing and practice scales.
Yeah.
And not look cool.
Yeah,
not that you don't look cool, but I know how cool you can look
well,
and that's about
it. That was the thing, is they put it in front of me and I practiced very intermittently, and then I kind of just like gave up on lessons and did my own thing, and then came back to lessons and would develop my own style, and it was kind of like a push and pull with that.
That's good, because there's stuff you kind of need to know, and then there's stuff you kind of really can ruin your life if you
absolutely,
you don't forget it.
Yeah, so a lot of my like non-lesson phases was learning to be cool in front of a piano. I think I did all right with that.
No, you look very cool. You do it crazy. Standing up, I sit down, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I don't tell anyone I said that. But I do sit down.
It's on wax.
Now it's on record.
Yeah, I know. Well, they all know I sit down.
You can edit that
on the
out.
Internet
you
of me just sitting there. Tell me about this tour. So this tour is going April 17th to May 4th. You're doing the East Coast and the Southeast. You're playing New Orleans, Atlanta, a lot of the East Coast, North Carolina, Vermont, New Hampshire, Cambridge, Maine, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, ending up in Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And this is your first tour as a band?
First big
tour,
first, yeah.
We've done a couple smaller like, Texas things.
Couple day things, yeah, here and there.
This is our first real tour.
Yeah, it's going to be intense. We're going.
Do you guys have a band? Or
no. We're looking, actually, we've been talking with... speaking of Hardproof, about renting their tour van.
Oh, yeah,
bands, they're a big sure. band and stuff too. So they, yeah, so trying to be renting one for tour. So it's gonna be quite a trip.
you guys have albums. Did you make other merch and stuff that you're gonna sell? Oh,
yeah.
And like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, our merch game is actually pretty strong.
Is it?
Yeah,
you didn't bring me shit.
I can give you the fanny pack that I've got.
Yeah, we're bringing fanny pack. Is the slogan that we use with that one.
Yeah, we've got fanny packs and
t-shirts. We're bringing back the fanny packs.
That's
your slogan.
That's what we're doing. We're bringing fanny pack, baby.
Yeah. Your purse and pockets don't know how to act.
That's right.
Yeah, so we've got t-shirts, fanny packs, CDs now, which we haven't really sold yet, but
It's comes good. Out April 14th.
April 14th, yeah.
April 14th. That's the date. I'll be saying it in the intro and the outro, but yeah, it's always good to remind people when it's coming out.
I'll say it 12 more times. April 14th. April 14th.
We'll spread it out throughout the show in case someone fast forwards because you're saying April 14th too much.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the first single was Eureka Cigarettes. Did the second one already come out, Tremble?
No, that comes out in a few days.
Yeah.
Okay. So this will come out, I think it's going to come out Tuesday. Is that cool?
Yeah.
The Tuesday before the release?
Then it will be out
by then.
Okay.
Then it is out.
All right, and people can go to your website, which is bourgeoismystics.com, and there's all kinds of stuff there. And you guys are a theatrical funk band. That's what I wrote down. But then art funk is what you guys have in your thing, which is what I like. Are you, you know what I mean? Like, are you... You guys sit around drawing and like smoking weed all day and being like spaced out.
Yeah, getting real sensitive. Yeah, I don't know. I think we just kind of call it that. It's got like kind of elements of like, you know, is, 60s art rock like Frank Zappa or Pink Floyd, you know, like art rock bands.
Right.
But it's not really like fully rock. I feel like the foundation of it is more in like funk dance, you know,
which is the cool thing because sometimes when you get into the muso level of challenging an audience, it's not as fun to listen to. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like there's some Zappa stuff that's a chore. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's like,
for sure. Yeah.
You feel like he's putting you through something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you guys luckily have that balance that you realize that there's also valued entertainment and you can express yourself musically because you have a large palette to express yourself with. You can do it, but not just gratuitously for no reason.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like
that about you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
There's a lot of elements of like sonically of retro times, but also still very modern sounding for a band. You know?
It's fun to sneak in a lot of influences, like Trevor's guitar styling sometimes evoke Dr. Dre, like The Chronic.
Trevor's definitely got funky shit.
And then
well, there is some shit that you could have been signed, like that solo at the end of that song is like you could be signed to GRP or something and be like, you know, Frank Gambale's new fucking protege. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
That's his next gig, you know. Yeah,
sure. One more time.
The cool thing is that it has edges. It doesn't have like that smoothness that jazz tones have.
Yeah,
you still have like you still got that. A dude that listened to some 90s all
the time. Yeah. It's gotta be gnarly.
Yeah, you need some gnarliness.
Yeah.
What's with that smooth? Can you do jazz? Can you do it? Not fake jazz, but like jazz out?
Oh, man.
Like, could you go to Elephant Room with like your... with your like your Ibanez really hollow body with the fucking high end all the way rolled off?
Like three tunes, maybe. Yeah. And after that.
Take the A-train?
Sure.
Okay.
All of me.
What about... Yeah?
That ends there. Yeah. Yeah, just a couple cliches.
And you can do it like with the like playing the melody and the chords and everything.
Sure, yeah,
that's cool. I like jazz cats like that. Are you that guy?
A little bit, I guess. Yeah, sure, man. I did a lot in college. Everything doing. I went to school for upright bass playing stand up. I do a little bit of stand up on the record, but yeah. So definitely
when you play side stuff, do you do stand up? Do you do jazz gigs? Or do
I do sometimes. Since I moved to Austin, I've been getting like. I mean, being, you know, from like the like Boston, New York area, you know, up in the Northeast, there's so much like all the time that like so many of my gigs were jazz and classical and upright bass, you know, stuff. But you know, I haven't gotten too many jazz gigs here, but I've done a few. I've done some upright stuff. I just played in a run of Chicago this past weekend, the musical.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
no
I'm gonna be doing that again this weekend. So doing it's the first time I've got these like reading chops in a while.
Awesome.
So
where? Fun. At Bass or something?
It's a place called TexArts out in like Westlake.
Oh, okay.
Out there. So yeah, it's just a 2-weekend run. I'm gonna be doing it again this weekend, and it was cool.
And all that jazz.
Yeah, exactly, man. So and I was playing with some pretty bad cats in the pit though.
I bet.
Was cool. One of the drummer from Intero Bang. I don't know if you know them. They're like a New Orleans style brass band in town. And,
nice.
And he's a solid drummer, a great keys player, and so it was cool. You know, got to have fun. You know, it's usually 16 people in that. Or it's written for 16 musicians, but there are like four of us. So the music director is like, yeah, man, just open it up and do whatever you want. Like, just fill some space. It's like, okay, cool. This is loose.
Wait,
this is fun.
In this Chicago, you know? I mean, it's a 16-person arrangement, like orchestra, but you're doing... Yeah. It with four people,
right? Yeah. So it's like, so it definitely everybody gets to like open it up. Yeah, dude, it's fun, question. Man. There's some good musicians, man. There's some good musicians in that pit. So the piano player is phenomenal. He's been crushing it for sure. Doing like, because it's written for two pianos. You know?
Yeah,
and he's like he's got one, so he's just like tearing it up. So it's a lot of fun.
I have some friends that play in that thing on Broadway that play guitar. They actually, I don't know if they're both subs for the same guy, but what's the they made a movie with it and Tom Cruise was in it.
Oh,
and Alec Baldwin. But it's like the hair metal movie that play,
man. Oh, crap.
With
Age of Rock. Something
what?
Rock. Age of Rock.
Yeah, no, no, not Age of Rock, but Something of Rock. Not School of Rock.
I can't think of it.
But you know it. Rock of Ages.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I don't know.
That
man.
Doesn't sound like
know.
It either.
Maybe, yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Passing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they do that, and that seems like a pretty fun gig. It just seems, it's cool to get out of what you normally do. Like, getting in there, like, if you were a guy that had to read every day for every session and every gig, you'd be bummed. But you're out fucking playing with your weird band and playing another shit, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this straight gig in the theater where I just gotta sit here and fucking see if I can hang.
And you never know where you're gonna get influence. You know, you get chops from that, and you get influence. You're like, oh man, like, what am I ever gonna get, like, you know, compositionally out of this? And then you, like, hear something, you're like, okay, that was kind of cool. I'm gonna steal that. I'm gonna steal that little, like, chord.
Well, to me, it's like, even when you're playing at a wedding or what you said, like a blue collar gig on Sixth Street or whatever, you're playing.
Oh,
it's and you're putting time in on stage.
Yeah,
and that's
rehearsal.
Priceless.
Yeah. For real. Yeah,
you're doing it. You're getting the reps. That's the the phrase I was looking for.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
know,
yeah.
you're getting better.
Yeah.
What about you, Zala? Who else do you play with?
Well, actually. Our female vocalist, Taylor.
Oh, yeah, I like her.
Yeah, she's great.
She's cool.
She just started a side project. So we got that started with the tuba sousaphone player from Intero Bang.
Okay.
And he's their band leader. He's playing upright bass with us.
Okay.
And it's kind of like Hiatus Coyote, neo-soul combined with some... kind of mellow jazz and funk.
That's cool.
But it's a lot of fun. So that's getting started off. Our first show is May 10th at Sahara Lounge.
Oh, cool. So you get back from tour and then get right back into the new band.
Into it.
Hit the ground running, man.
Yeah. So that's my other thing. I've also been doing solo stuff on and off, but that's been on hiatus since joining Bourgeois Mystics.
When you do solo stuff, is it just you, like solo performances? Like you and a piano and just like...
No, it's hip-hop, actually.
Oh, what the fuck?
It's like really weird, nerdy, kind of Lovecraftian hip-hop about food.
That's killer.
Yeah.
What kind of
Naturally.
Food?
About food, Judaism, and
you're Jewish?
I was culturally, yeah. Yes.
What does that mean? Your mom Jewish?
Both of my parents are Jewish.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
That was like a weird kind
of weird, that was a weird answer.
Answer,
yeah.
Well,
it's cool, man. I know we're in the South, but I'm hip, man. I'm from Miami.
Yeah.
I'm Cuban.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all my first girlfriends were like Rosenblum and like Weiss and.
There you go. So you had a lot of Jewish girlfriends.
Yeah, Farb.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really identify religiously with Judaism. Just, you know, it's definitely a part of my cultural upbringing and.
Yeah, it's a beautiful culture.
Traditions.
It's a beautiful tradition.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful. It's beautiful because it's more than it's more than a religion. It's a race. It's you're born into this thing,
mm-hmm.
and you're part of this long line of people that have been in a struggle for a long time. They're trying to keep it together. I'm serious. It's beautiful. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's awesome. Growing up in the Northeast is a lot different. Like here, like people know like three Jewish people. Like people that grew up in Texas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I went to Miami Beach Senior High School, and like that, I mean, you're next to the Hebrew Academy there, but then also it's like, there were like three white dudes at our school.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, I'm Cuban. If they're, and everyone was either Jewish, Cuban, Honduran, or black. It was like there's, you know, or not Honduran, like Nicaraguan. Mm. There was a lot of Nicaraguans there for some reason. All good people.
Yeah.
What's going on in the world? You guys, so you're going to try and rent this van?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the,
it's the goal.
Game plan. Get us up there. You're going to have about 9 people in that van, I think, for part of the tour, for like a week of the tour. Once we get up there with the horn section up in New England, meet up with them, and so yeah, it's gonna be pretty crazy. We're gonna get to know each other real well.
Yeah,
having us all crammed in there, so
yeah,
it's gonna be cool, man.
Dude. So do you have any day jobs? That was a weird inflection of the
day jobs.
Day jobs.
I have some day jobs.
No,
it's French. Day job.
Do you have a day job?
No.
Trevor, you do not have a job. No, but you do the blue collar. Sixth Street Shuffle.
We're all blue collar, yeah. And do music full time.
And Zalo, you too have no job.
You do
or no, like,
I'm doing not air quotes. Not a typical 9-to-5 thing. I do ride sharing, and then I do kind of intermittent character acting.
Really?
Yeah. I get hired out for like corporate gigs to be a roaming character. I've done the Lagunitas parties a bunch of time during South By and done their tour with them a few times. So cool. It's like kind of like circus arts.
Yeah, I just played an event last week. Do you know Emmy Robin?
I don't
She's know. In that band with Alex from Austin Music Foundation, the Dead Love Club. She's the chick in the band with the whip.
I know them, yeah.
It's always whipping Alex.
Yeah. No, I definitely would remember that.
I just played a gig last week, this corporate gig, and they had actors doing things, and they were dressed up as people, and she was one of the people at the thing.
Oh, cool.
How about that?
It was real hot. I'm not like a cosplay person, and I'm not into costumes, but like at Halloween, I get so horny. And like, I really do.
There's a lot of revealed skin.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, there is, but like, then also there's like these weird Halloween wigs and like, oh, I've always wanted to fall in love with a girl with blue hair. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then you see him like at the end of the night, they take the thing off, and you're like, no, you're just a regular person.
No, just put my wig back on.
Do people dress up and come to your shows?
Sometimes. For a certain event, we'll have like kind of special, more theatrical events and stuff.
Are you guys part of like Solstice? Do you guys play those things? The Solstice
Festival
and
stuff? Yeah, we do some. Yeah, Solstice Live. Yeah, I've done some stuff through them for sure.
Those guys are cool. They're still doing a lot of stuff, right? Are they doing the festivals here?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Solstice Fest is still happening in June.
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of going over like a creative rebirth right now and focusing more on the tech side of things and less about...
Shows?
Less about local stuff. I think they're kind of like trying to become a technical platform and then do more of the national touring stuff.
Okay. Because they were putting on shows like all week, every week, like at four different places a night, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it got to where it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah.
It's hard to grow something like that. I mean, it's hard for us to get people to come to our show and grow our own fucking band, let alone four shows a night.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. For sure, yeah.
Where else have you guys played? You said you played Texas. Where do you go? Like Austin. Houston, Dallas, San Antonio? College towns?
Pretty much, in college towns, go to, San Marcos, Denton, some of the college towns, Beaumont. East Texas, man, is they've gotten, people are into it there. Like, I don't, they're just super, like, Galveston, Houston, Beaumont, they eat it up,
I saw you guys
were
playing the Old Quarter. That's a really, I thought that was, like, a folk place. That was, like, the Towns Van Zandt
jam. I thought
jam.
So, too, man. Yeah, it was. My buddy in Galveston was like, hey, I'm gonna have you play at this old quarter. I mean, I look it up online. I'm like, I don't know, man, is this gonna be the right place for us? We're even when we're in the back, like, and he kept assuring me the whole time, like, oh no, like, it's under new management. I put on like shows there, like, they'll love funk, they love rock. And like, even when we were there, you know, they're like, yeah, no Obama stickers in the back office, like, all this stuff. And I was I'm like, are we in the right place, man? I don't know, you know, like, love it or leave it and all this stuff. And I was like, I hope this goes well. But then we played, man, and it's like, you know, all the and there's like, you know, young people coming out and dancing and partying and like and loving our weird ass music. So I was like, sweet.
That's cool that you bring that up, because over the last, like, obviously over the last year, there's been a lot of like, people taking sides on things politically.
For sure.
And I've had some really beautiful experiences with people that think completely opposite of me. I have great conversations with them. And sometimes I've tried, like, there was a point in like October where my band Skyrocket played this thing that was started by the Tea Party when it first started up. But they raise money for wounded soldiers, and they get them their dream shit, like a guitar if a guy wants one, and all this kind of shit. And you get to see them give that stuff away at this fundraiser. It's a really beautiful experience. They're really great people, but obviously it's not gonna fucking, like, you know, go whatever with these people. But you go outside and have a cigarette, and you're talking to some old dude that you know. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you just don't ever bring it up. And then you just realize, like, that, you know, that guy's got a family. He's trying to get things out. Yeah. He likes music,
yeah,
too.
Good,
like, hey,
on
man.
Either side of the aisle, for sure, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, you going to sing that Billy Squire song again?
Yeah.
That song, Stroke, man, that's about jerking off, ain't it? Yeah, it is.
It is.
That's pretty cool, man.
So
you ever write
a
song about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, 93% of my songs are about that. Yeah. Different words.
That's nice. Nice, man. Us too.
It's a lot of adjectives, verbs for stroking.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are.
That's right. We've exhausted all of them at this point.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of masturbation songs, man. There's like Dancing With Myself by Billy Idol. Turning Japanese by The Vapors.
Yeah.
Obviously, The Stroke. But that's not... He's asking, like, he's like, hey, like, my hand's tired. Can you help me out? Stroke me.
Violet Femmes. I hope there's a playlist with, like, a bunch of masturbation
songs. Yeah, we gotta get this on. Yeah, we gotta get some playlists.
I think girls like you more when you do that.
Yeah.
You get more chicks at your show. Seriously, it sounds weird.
Yeah?
No, it's not true.
Well, that's
like
a good thing.
I was like, I don't know about that, but all right. Yeah.
Because Zach and I actually go for long periods of time without touching ourselves.
Yeah.
So
really?
Yeah, as spiritual practice. So
yes,
maybe we should
start
singing about that.
It's the mystic part of the bourgeois mystics, yeah.
You're not joking?
No.
I mean, everything we do is a joke, yeah.
That's the best thing anyone ever said on this podcast.
All right,
that is the best.
We earned it.
You're not joking. We're not stroking.
Actually, what it says on our business cards, you know.
I mean, do you mind talking about it? What would drive someone to deny themselves the one God-given pleasure we have?
Novelty. It's a wonderful, you know, if you ever want to start an awkward conversation at a party. Great way.
Or on a podcast.
Yeah, or on a podcast. Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for me, I was reading a lot of yogic texts like 4 years ago.
Okay.
And, I mean, it makes sense. I noticed, like, sometimes if I wank it a lot, I get just kind of energy depleted.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, no. I understand that.
John Coltrane didn't masturbate.
You need to hang on to your chi.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sun Ra also, he had, the whole band was completely celibate, as well as straight edge. I'm pretty sure
like Ernest Hemingway jerked off all day.
Oh, for sure, dude.
Yeah. Like, he was drunk too. He's drunk jerk. So it took him all day.
Right, yeah, dude, that's the thing. Yeah, everybody's got their own paths.
That's
dude.
A spiritual practice
Some
in itself.
Only do that.
Trying to overcome whiskey dick.
Yeah, there you go. Which is the name of our follow-up album. Trying to overcome whiskey dick.
That's
going to be the VH1, you
the
know, behind the music.
About the
yeah, there you go. Like, it's got a real sad, you know, cover of us in the shadow.
Trying to overcome whiskey dick.
Yeah.
The story of the bourgeois mystics.
Yeah, exactly. So
you're just bourgeois mystics, not
yeah, just
the bourgeois
right. mystics.
No,
that happens a lot.
I'm sorry.
It's cool.
Oh, I'm going to walk out right now, man. Yeah, I think Trevor's about to walk out. Yeah.
Trevor, you got
to
go.
I got a couple more minutes.
Okay, let's
but in a couple minutes, we'll get him real indignant again, and he'll storm out. Don't worry.
I have really enjoyed talking to you guys. I am, I love this album, and I think other people will love it too.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that if I go see you live, I'm gonna have a great time. What is the release show? Is that on the 14th?
Yep.
At,
April 14th.
Okay.
And we're playing with Foot Patrol, Kadu and the Dude, and Candy and the Motherlode. And we're playing at Parish. Doors are at 8 p.m.
And there are pre-sale tickets online right now. You get I think the early bird's all done, but you can get a CD and admission for $12.
Okay.
So if you get the early bird and then day of show, it's $10 for each.
Right.
So.
And the album will be available on all platforms on the 14th, on the iTunes, on the Spotify's, on all the places people get music.
Everywhere.
But if you're listening to this, the day that it comes out, which is the Tuesday before the record comes out, their new single, Tremble and Take Heed, is available. You can probably find it on SoundCloud, where you can also find Eureka Smoking, your first single from this record. Great job, guys. And be sure, go to bourgeoismystics.com, find out if they're coming to a town near you, because they very well may be. Because they're going to be in places like Cambridge, Maine, and Vermont, and New Hampshire, places where you don't normally get to see cool-ass bands from Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much for doing the show. Go to bourgeoismystics.com, pick up Eureka. It will be available this Friday, April 14th. Go see their show at the Parish in Austin. If not, go to bourgeoismystics.com. They will be on tour April 17th through May 4th. Thank you, dudes.
Thank you.
Johnny. Thank you so much
appreciate
for coming,
man.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
Good luck with it.
Yeah. Bourgeois Mystics. Great dudes. Great album, Eureka, their debut album, available this Friday, April 14th. They are also doing a release show this Friday in Austin at the Parish on April 14th. And if you do not live in Austin, they are heading out next week, starting April 17th. They are heading out on tour of the East Coast and Southeast, hitting the New Orleans, Atlanta, the North Carolina, Vermont, New Hampshire, Cambridge, Maine, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Little Rock, and many more cities. Go to bourgeoismystics.com, find out how to get the album, and see if they're coming to a town near you. I want to thank Zalo, Zach, and Trevor for coming by. I had a great conversation with those guys. I love that band, man. And this album, Eureka, is absolutely fantastic. I think you should get out and get it immediately. You're going to hear their latest single, Tremble and Take Heed, coming up in just a second. Don't forget, while you're out there checking out Bourgeois Mystic stuff online, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and most places where you find podcasts, even your iPhone podcast app or anywhere like that. Be sure that you subscribe to it. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. I'll be having conversations like this one I had with the Bourgeois Mystics with many, many bands from all over the place, okay? Thank you so much for listening to the show. Enjoy this song, Tremble and Take Heed, from the Bourgeois Mystics. Don't forget their album, Eureka, out this Friday, April 14th. Go to bourgeoismystics.com for all your Bourgeois Mystics need. Have a good week. Let's get down.
sitting on this marshal. Sitting in a circle, singing it, I'm still a partial. Hurts me to say we control the resistance. The very thing you're fighting, but you're moving to existence. The counterculture revolution offers no solution to the cult of creed of one. We need even evolution for a battle can't be won. One commands it from both sides. Cashing in and face for your own worth as peasant lives. In the sun. Soul in sunshine, wash soul in the rain. Give your mind to the hive if you want to survive. Let the bourgeois wash your brain. Wash soul in the sunshine, wash soul in the rain. Give your mind to the hive if you want to survive. Let the mystics wash your brain. Tremble and take heed. Life's worth nothing. Get your mind.
Take heed. Life's worth nothing.